Good evening, everyone. To our friends that are joining us, we thank you for being here tonight. We hope and pray that if you have any questions about what we have been reading or what we will be seeing for the next couple of minutes, that you will not go home with them, but would be willing to sit with us and ask those questions. I want to thank everyone who's here tonight. It is truly an encouragement to see this beautiful crowd on a Wednesday night. And as we know that every last Wednesday of the month, we have this practice where we have a congregational devotional. And it has always been our practice that the scripture readings tie into what the thought for the evening should be. If you pay close attention to the four passages that were read tonight, that of Micah, that of the two from Mark, and the one from Matthew, you would have noticed that in them they are all referencing to sacrifice. You paid attention to the passages, we see that in Micah, God declares in times of old what type of sacrifice he was searching for. And we read about how through the rich or the Pharisee who asked our Lord in the gospel according to Mark, that what is the greatest commandment of all? After our Lord Christ responded that it is about giving our all to our Father, but also to love one another as oneself. And it was that young rich ruler, that Pharisee, who acknowledged that this was even superior to all of the burnt offerings that could be offered to our God. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, that the cost of discipleship is that we must be willing to give everything. We must be willing to give our own lives for the sake of Christ and His gospel. And a very important question is asked by the master there. What profiteth the man if he were to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What can he give in exchange for his soul? Thus it brings us to our message tonight, where we will be taking from Genesis chapter 22, specifically verse 2. You see, here we see an ultimate example and a foreshadow of what God was about to do for the world. We see that through Abraham, although verse 1 tells us that God tested Abraham, he was also through his friend's example showing us what he himself was about to do for mankind. We know that Abraham here is representative of God himself, and Isaac is representative of Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And we understand that when we drop to verse 8, Abraham teaches us that he had faith. When Isaac in verse 7 asks his father about the sacrificial lamb, Abraham was very confident that God would provide for himself a sacrificial lamb. It is Hebrews 11 verses 17 and forward that teaches us that it is in this moment where Abraham had in his mind the concept of resurrection. But what I want you and I to do tonight, friends, is to look at a little bit more closely verse 2. And I want us to look at this because this is showing us the right attitude of which Micah chapter 7 speaks of. It speaks about the right attitude that made that man, that Pharisee, hear from Jesus Christ, "You are not far from the kingdom." It is the right attitude that Jesus had to adjust in Peter when we've read that Peter didn't want the Lord to give his life. And it is the attitude that when you and I choose to follow this narrow path toward heaven, it is the attitude that you and I must have on as we've taken on this commitment when it comes to giving our all to God. The Bible reads in verse 2, "Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." You see, when we read this, brethren, we understand that sacrifice is something that is not going to be easy. We understand that when we decide to make a commitment, it is something that will require much work and many times will be a struggle and painful. But I want us to take this verse in parts in the minutes that have been given to us to see and understand what pleases God. What are the burnt offerings that are a sweet-smelling aroma in His presence? Because these are the words of God toward Abraham. Observe the first portion that God tells Abraham, "Take now." What we read from these two words is, we see that God is not to be made to wait in following His commandment. Take now was the commandment that God gave to Abraham. Not in a year's time. Not whenever you are ready or whenever you feel like doing so. But rather there has to be diligence when it comes to the obedience of God's commandments. From the moment that we rise from the waters of baptism and we are now walking in newness of life, observe that in that moment we are already making a sacrifice. We are laying to bury in the watery grave the old man. Take now, said God to Abraham. Do not delay. Be diligent in what I am asking you to do for me. Because now is where I will test you, and now is where you will show me how much you are truly willing to give for my sake. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now notice verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Notice the diligence of this short-statured man. He was anxious to see the Lord. His desire was to see him pass by. It was not to invite him into his home. It was not to have a conversation with him. He simply wanted his eyes to behold the Jesus that he had heard so much about. His desire to achieve this goal was so great that Bible teaches us that he ran. Not only did he run, he climbed into a sycamore tree. A man in this position, this was not an easy feat to do. It was, if you would say, conduct unbecoming of his man of his social status. But this man did not care. And it was this diligence, this haste that he had already shown, this desire to want to see the Lord, that he was willing to sacrifice his credibility as a chief tax collector. That he was willing to sacrifice his reputation. He was willing to expose himself to mockery by climbing a sycamore tree because he was a short-statured man. But it was this sacrifice that caught the attention of our Lord. It was this desire that made our Lord look up to where he was at and call him by name. Just like John chapter 10 teaches us, I know my sheep and I know them by name, says the Lord. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. And notice the commandment, just like Abraham heard, make haste and come down for today. I must stay at your house. Take now is what God told Abraham. This is synonymous with make haste. Today. Don't waste time. Don't make the time that is something that you do not really have. Redeem the time, says Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. You see, today when we decide to put on Jesus Christ, we did not waste our time, but we made haste. We ran and climbed the sycamore tree, and we heard Jesus say that he must stay with us today. And because Zacchaeus did so, notice in verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Can you imagine if Zacchaeus would have responded, Lord, I'm not able to today, but can I put you on the schedule for next week? I'm a very busy man. I'm the chief tax collector. I have a busy schedule. I do not have time for you today because I have to work. Well, that's not making haste. That's not giving diligence to what is truly important. That is not giving God what He has asked for today. That is telling God to wait for us. And God is declaring, but I need to come to you today. We go back to Genesis chapter 22 and notice the second part of the commandment. We see the first one was take now. The second one is your son. This was something that belonged to Abraham. The blood of his blood. The son of promise. The son of whom he had been promised to receive all of the blessings. Observe that Abraham was not being told, give me Ishmael and you can keep Isaac. No, give me your son. The one your wife bore to you. The one you have been waiting for. You see, God does not want a substitution from us. God wants our very best. God wants what we hold most dear. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to ask yourself, what do Enoch and Abel have in common? Well, if you notice, they both presented their time and their devotion to God. Verse 6 is summarizing what these two men did. They both diligently sought God. What is defined by this is the fact that both Abel and Enoch dedicated their time in searching for what pleased God. Abel took the time and put in the commitment into choosing his very best to give an excellent, and God declares it, a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Enoch devoted his days to walking with God every day for 365 years. Both dedicated and devoted what was most precious to them, their lives, their time, and of themselves. Your son, not you, not your half-son, your son, he that belongs to you and the woman that you love, your very best, Abraham. We must give our God our very best. We cannot give God our leftovers. We must not give God what we have left over to give Him. You see, in the days of old, God declared for the first fruits of everything. The firstborn He consecrated for Himself. The first fruits of the crops belong to Him as well. And today, brethren, this has not changed. Notice that it is the first day of the week that we are commanded to assemble to worship our God. We must begin our week by first giving God of our time, of our focus, and our dedication. But how poorly do we often give Him what we have left over? We take care of the secular and the earthly first, and then if we have time in the evening, we go. God deserves everything. God deserves it all. Because that's exactly what He gave us with Jesus Christ. We go back to Genesis chapter 22. Once again, notice the third requirement in order to give God something that pleases Him. Your only son. Your only son. You see, God did not want an usurper. He did not want an imposter. God wanted that which was unique. God wanted that which was one of a kind. Brethren, we all have only one soul. We all have only one life. We all have only one mind and one heart. It is one of a kind. It belongs to no one else. And when God declares to us that this is what He wants it all. Once again, the greatest commandment is how we are to love God. With all of your mind, with all of your strength, and with all of your heart. That is something that no one else can take from me. Because it is mine and only I can give it to Him. I must be able to love God in a way that I will love no one else. Not even my mother, not even my wife, not even my son or daughter. The love that I must give God, the life that I must give God, must be the very best. Not an imitation, and not a semblance of what may seem like what's the original. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, very quickly, because our time runs out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Notice there how this commandment given to Abraham applies to us as well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I am not to offer my son as sacrifice. I am not to offer my eldership as a sacrifice, my deaconship as a sacrifice, my preacher as a sacrifice. I am to offer myself, my service, my reasonable service, my time, my devotion, my commitment, my dedication to the study of the Word, my dedication to the application of the Word. Because no one can do this for me. No one can offer it on my behalf. Only I can offer myself as a living sacrifice that is a sweet smelling savor in the presence of Jehovah God. Take now, diligence, your son, something that is precious. Your only son, unique, one of a kind, that cannot be imitated. But observe the final point, brethren, that we will see tonight. Isaac, whom you love. Isaac, whom you love. Brethren, we cannot offer God a common sacrifice. We cannot offer God whatever we have at our disposition. What we give God must honor Him above all else. What we give God must be the very best of what we have. Even our time, brethren, can be compromised when we are sitting here and thinking about dinner instead of focusing on His Word. We have not given Him our very best. We have not given Him our full attention. Isaac, whom you love. This is why sacrifice hurts. This is why sacrifice is painful. Because it is something that we hold dear. It is something that we esteem highly above anything else. Isaac, whom you love, Abraham. Isaac, whom you love, because in him the blessings shall be given to you. Isaac, in whom the promises were made, that son that you waited 25 long years for. Now I want him back. Give him to me. God gave us our lives to begin with. Why are we hesitant to give them back to Him when they belong to Him in the first place? Further yet, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt that God is not powerful enough to return to us blessings for giving Him our lives? Because remember, what gave Abraham the assurance and the strength to be able to give God what he asked for was that he believed, he was convinced that God is powerful enough to return his son even from death. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18. But I want us to read Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And observe what the Bible teaches there, beginning there at verse 34. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." You see, God wants us to give him our lives. Give me your life. Give me your entire being. Give me your love, your time, your attention, your commitment. Isaac, whom you love. Do you notice that in the second commandment, the second greatest commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself? What makes the first one greater than the second? We're not going to love God as ourselves. We have to love God as He loved us. Christ here shows us the meaning of that. We have to take up our cross daily. But in order for us to do so, we must deny ourselves first. Do you think that Abraham didn't have to deny himself as a father? That he didn't have to deny his urge to want to protect his son whom he loved? What father would lovingly and willingly and rejoicefully take his son to burn him alive? To slit his throat because God had commanded him to do so? No, Abraham, brethren, was not in agreement as to say, "I want to do this with great joy." He would not have been thinking about the power of resurrection if that would have been the case. He would not have had hope that his son would be returned to him. But he denied himself. He denied himself to honor God. But he denied himself to prove to himself how much he relied and trusted in God. How many times do we hesitate from doing something because we're afraid? Because we don't know what might happen. This is where denying ourselves has to kick into effect, because we trust and rely in God. I'm not sure, but if this is what God wants me to do, then Father, let thy will be done. That's denying yourself. That's taking up your cross and following him. Thus we see, brethren, that this is the sacrifice that honors God. Take now, diligence, your son, your very best, your only son, no substitution, Isaac, whom you love, the very best for our God. Are we doing that? Or has God taken a back seat to everything else? That be the case, the question tonight is, what does it profit? What does it profit if what you have taken as priority over God will cost you what is most precious to any human being, your own soul? My friend, take now. Don't wait. Stop thinking you have time. Stop telling yourself that tomorrow is a guarantee. You see, God tonight, like he told Abraham, tells you, take now what you hold most dear and give it to me. And I will show you why it is the best decision you will ever make. Because of faith, Abraham became a friend of God. And because of faith, we today are his descendants. Those who are of faith, says Galatians, are the heirs of Abraham. So tonight, friend, we encourage you, take now your soul, the only soul you have, the soul that you love, and give it to God in obedience through the waters of baptism. And in return, God will give you a new life, and he will give you the promise of everlasting life. If you are ready tonight, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.